Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and hey, I'm Rusty. Glad that you are able to join me this week. Lots of things have happened since last Wednesday. As always, life is this courageous journey of getting up and doing something new every day, even though you didn't think you were going to do it anyway. So after the radio show last week, I took my beautiful baby girl about an hour and a half south to surprise her with a new puppy. Yes, a puppy. Her name is Bella, and for those of us who follow me on Facebook. I did post some pictures last week. Chloe was speechless, which is highly unusual. We are a chatty family, and so Bella is the new star of our life. She is maybe 5 pounds. She's a little tiny chihuahua, and when I got back from the gym this morning, she was a Jack Russell on birthday cake, caffeine, and any other stimulant you could possibly imagine. She just was jumping crazy. She actually looks like a black and white meerkat, not a chihuahua, but I'm going with chihuahua because I think meerkats are illegal here in the United States. Not sure. Today, we are actually, it looks like it's just me. I don't think Amy's going to make it today, and I'm sure she told us why, and I just don't remember why. We have Christy Blycharski. And she is a woman who inspires other women and people, empowers. She's all about love and bliss. So I am really looking forward to understanding how she goes about creating bliss for herself and other people. She is a personal development communicator. She's just reading. She has a book, Empower Your Day, How to Create More Happiness, Energy, Success Through Positive Mornings. I'm very excited about this show. And, hey, Amy just showed up. Hi, my dear. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Sorry, I was having trouble connecting.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. It's going to be really interesting because I'm actually getting rid of my landline. Comcast raised my bill yet again. So I'm just like, I'm done with that. So all of the shows from December 1st on will actually be through my new Skype line, which I'm quite happy with. So hopefully I won't be traveling during a show. I'll have to be cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm.
So well, do you have any... go ahead. What?
Couldn't you use the Skype when you're traveling?
Oh, absolutely. I just have to make sure that I'm within a place where there's Wi-Fi.
I see. Okay, yeah, because that could be beneficial.
Yeah, that could be an interrupt us show. The show interrupt us. So I have to tell you, Amy, I had a huge surprise come to my door today. And, you know, this week has just been whirlwind crazy week, lots of things going on. And someday you and I will have to sit down and talk. But I read over the summer when I was in Florida, Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman. And it was a really, really great book. I really enjoyed the read, and I reached out to see if they would be interested in coming on the show. Well, they are, December 11th, so it's very exciting. Oh, Dan Millman and Sierra Prada will be on the show to discuss their new book, The Creative Compass. You'll never believe what that's about.
Oh, I'm reading that right now.
Are you? See, there you go. So you'll be ready for the interview as well. The Creative Compass by Dan Millman and Sierra Prada. I can't even say it today. I'm so exhausted. I've been interval running, which is you're going, you know, high speed, a bazillion miles an hour for 60 seconds, and then you stop for a minute and a half, and then you do it again, and this is a 20-minute routine. And literally, I'm a puddle by the time I'm done because it burns like three times the amount of calories. You're really, really working your heart and your body in this amazing way, but I'm exhausted. Totally exhausted today.
Puppy runs.
Huh?
I have puppy runs.
Oh, I have a puppy too now.
You do?
Yeah, you didn't see the posting?
I
surprised her with a little chihuahua. And she's about 20 weeks old, and she's not potty trained, so that's been entertaining. But she's definitely like a big love bug hyper thing. It's been fun.
Yeah, I've seen it because I was on Facebook today, so I have not seen it.
No worries. Do you have any announcements before I pull Christy on?
Well, the only two things I have going on is I'll be at the Elements Fair in Newmarket, the yoga studio in Newmarket. That's going to be a new adventure for me this weekend, that's Saturday, and that's 10 to 4. And then next week in the Unity Fair, the 26th, we're having our spiritual healing fair, and it's going to have a fun Halloween. You can dress up. I'm going to dress up, so come see what I'm going to be dressed up as for Halloween. And we'll be there at the Unity next weekend from 10 to 5.
Very, very cool. All right. So, Miss Christy, I am so glad that you are on. Your timing, universal timing, is just something that I never take for granted, because everybody that I've worked with in the last 3 weeks, including some of my own personal adversity that's going on in my life with divorce and custody and that sort of thing, so could use your spirit and information on how to, you know, survive and empower yourself and motivate in times of change and personal development. So I'm so glad you're here. Perfect timing.
Well, thanks, Rusty. Hi, Amy. Nice to connect with both of you, and thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be with you.
All right.
I'm excited for a great, empowering conversation today.
Absolutely. So I always like to start out with, who are you, what do you do, where do you come from?
Well, thank you. Well, you mentioned my name. I'm Christy Liharsky. I am a coach. I talk mostly about happiness and personal empowerment, but I also do some business and marketing coaching, because prior to what I do now, I spent 15 years working in marketing and PR, partly in the corporate world, which is a whole story in and of itself. And then about 10 years ago, went through a huge breakdown/breakthrough. I always believe breakdowns lead to breakthroughs in my life. I realized the corporate world wasn't for me. I left. I knew that I wanted to start my own business and do my own thing, and so I did. I started my own marketing and PR company. And a few years into that, an interesting thing happened. Actually, two interesting things happened. The first one was that a lot of the business owners and people launching new brands that were coming to me asking for my assistance with their businesses and helping to grow and market their businesses, I realized that part of the reason they were struggling in growing their business was because they were also struggling in their personal lives, and they weren't able to shine and blossom in their business life the way they wanted to, because their entire life across the board was so rushed and cluttered. And so that was sort of a little bit of a light bulb time for me. I realized that what I did was not just helping people grow their businesses, but helping them sort of get everything together. And after that, I went through the second part of that was I was stricken with a catastrophic illness, which basically left me unable to work and care for myself for over a year. And this was my second big time of transition. And during that healing process, I dove deeper into my studies of coach training and metaphysics and spirituality, and really grew in huge ways. And so I look back on that time that I was ill, which was 2007 and 2008, and really think of it as one of the greatest gifts to ever happen to me in my life. So after that, I transitioned into what I'm doing now, which is inspirational and motivational speaking and coaching and helping people create happier, more balanced, and more joyful lives. And so that's where I'm at.
Very cool. Now, this is a great place for you to shamelessly plug yourself and how people can actually reach you so that we can get into the meat of the conversation.
Sure. My website's creatingyourbliss.com. And I know you mentioned my ebook that I have, and thank you so much for that. And that's actually free on my website. So anybody listening can go to creatingyourbliss.com And on the right-hand side, you'll see a download area there to get that book for free. And it's all about how to change your life by changing the way you're living your mornings, which we'll talk about a little more in this conversation.
Okay, so I'm a pretty good student, stubborn, but I'm pretty good. I wake up every morning, and I wake up at crazy hours for either coaching reasons, or I think coaching and being a parent, you develop bad sleeping habits. But sometimes I wake up at 3, sometimes I wake up at 4, sometimes I wake up at 5. But the first thing I always do is say, thank you, God. I am grateful for. And I have my whole grateful list. And then I try to go back to sleep, and sometimes that works, but hardly ever. How do you wake up every morning?
Well, first of all, I think waking up in a place of gratitude is the best way to wake up. If you can wake up every morning and immediately shift your thoughts to what you're grateful for, that will not only start you off on always on the right side of the bed and in the right mindset, but it will change your entire energy. You will get out of bed with an energy of gratitude and really looking at the day through that lens. And I can't tell you what a huge difference it makes. I mean, I know you know this from your personal experience, but it is the most important thing. And we do have control over our first thoughts of the morning. And, you know, I know a lot of people listening can relate to this, but I can remember a time in my life where I was waking up in the morning and immediately my mind would start racing and my thoughts would go crazy as to, you know, I have all these meetings today and, oh, I forgot mm-hmm. this and I have to pack for this business trip. And immediately I would start my day off feeling overwhelmed. And, you know, when I realized that we don't have to wake up that way, we have the power to immediately shift our thoughts in the morning and make those first thoughts of the day empowering thoughts and thoughts of gratitude and positivity and setting intention, it just changed everything. And I think this is one of the most powerful messages that you know, we can really just get out there. The way we're waking up is setting the foundation for our entire day.
Well, and as you know, as a coach, a therapist has a therapist, a coach has a coach. We all have our go-to points and people that we work with. And my coach, Anne, who I talk about often, I just love her, and she follows the work of Katie Byron, which is tough for my personality, but it works really well. I had actually asked her, why do I continuously, and this has been months ongoing, Amy, you can chime in if you want, wake up in the middle of court. I'm having a court battle, like literally waking up, arguing in court, and I'm going through a divorce and custody and all of that stuff, and normally, 99% of the time, I'm very, very good about refocusing, you know, pushing things away, understanding that this negative thinking, that sort of thing. But what my coach had mentioned was when you're asleep, that's the one time you're not distracted, and that's your downtime. So all of these fears and negative thoughts and everything, it's like a playground because there's nothing that's conscious to really get rid of them or let them go. So when you wake up in that type of mindset, your fears, negativities and all of that stuff, they're just playing. So immediately go into your grateful list, immediately go into something inspirational. I have a friend that actually reads the Quran when he wakes up in those moments of high intensity lifetimes, and he's Muslim. I have another friend who reads, Amy, what is her name? Louise Hayes. That's one of Amy's favorites.
Well, I think, you know, I think you bring up a really good point. Yes, I think you bring up a really good point. I think in addition to sort of getting in a place of gratitude in the morning, if we can take a couple of minutes to connect with spirit in some way and whatever that means to us in our heart space, like that right there is, you know, the next most powerful thing we can do in addition to getting in that place of gratitude. So I think you bring up a really important point there.
I've been working with a lot of people with fear with what's going on in the world right now. It's triggering a lot of fear in people and anxiety. So what I've been telling people is first of all, the gratitude thing really works.
It really does, right? It's not just a cliche.
it really does work, and it puts you in a different place And when you start to worry, I've been telling people, be okay with worrying about that, but just let it go or focus into another thing. I've been telling people to focus more on community, what you can do right in your own community to help each other get through these rough times rather than thinking about the global problem, because that's too big for our brain to comprehend. And then we go into all these different avenues. So the empowerment is actually being able to make a difference in your little world, whatever that may be, that, you know, your talents, your, and then it just rolls like that. And then people find what they're good at and they feel good about situations. But the first thing I tell them is you have to be grateful for something, even if it's just breathing.
Well, I think that that is the first piece of advice that anybody should really take, especially when they're in fear or going through transition, when you can shift to that place of gratitude and connecting with spirit, that mm-hmm. right there will shift your energy. And on energy, too, like, then, you know, the next thing I would like to mention, because I work to live my life this way, and when I'm coaching people or speaking to groups, I talk about it every time, and that we don't have control over everything going on around us, but we do have control over our energy. And I'm a big believer that the energy that we create from within ourselves and put out into the world is the same energy that we're going to get back. And so, mm-hmm. in a sense, by changing our own energy and shifting the way we are living our day and what we're putting out into the world, we do affect what's going on around us and other people in a positive way. And, Rusty, you mentioned you're going through a divorce right now. I went through one myself a couple of years back, and I'm coaching a friend now who's going through one. And one of the things I tell him is it's real easy to get caught up in negativity. And when that negativity that energy starts, you know, festering into a big ball, it's hard to see past it. And keeping the mindset of, you know, the energy we put out is the energy we'll get back, really does apply to a divorce. If we can, you know, do it mindfully and more peacefully and put out a mindful, peaceful energy, no matter what kind of energy the other person is projecting, it will create a shift, even small shifts that will make things easier and bring a little bit more peace to the situation. And it's hard while you're in it, I know, but, you know, anything energetically you can do, getting in those mindsets will help shift the energy there. And also, shift the outcome in the end, because, you know, going through a transition with better energy and in a better, more peaceful place will bring everybody out into a healthier place.
Oh, absolutely. And I was actually divorced 3 years ago, but it's still continuing because his energy is just not, you know, he's definitely not letting go and finding any positive way of doing the parenting part. But anyway, different story. So give us an example of how you discovered your desire to live in a blissful and happy state. You mentioned that you got ill and you got a divorce and all of these other things that have happened with a job.
There's been a lot of big transitions that have happened for me, and I think everybody has their turning points in their lives and you know, the big things that we remember, right, that change us as people. For me, the biggest turning point was when I became sick, and I had always been into studying personal development and had taken some coach training and was a spiritual person prior to that. But, you know, when I became so ill that I couldn't even wash my hair or take care of myself or drive a car or anything for a very long period of time, I chose to look at that as, you know, that was the universe basically giving me a smackdown. Like, everything I was doing was leading me into not the place that I needed to be headed. And so I really turned inward during that time. And one of the things I realized was, you know, I had spent so much of my time growing up and through my 20s and into my early 30s really living in a pretty constant state and roller coaster of unhappiness. And, you know, of course I had my happy times and happy events and occasions, but my overall life as a whole did not have the joy and peace that I was seeking. And what I realized during the time I was sick was that I was, number one, looking at happiness basically a complete incorrect way, that I had been looking at happiness at attaining it through things and achievements and approval from others. And those are the complete opposite areas of where we need to be seeking it. And so I made shifts in those areas and read books and learned how to help other people make those shifts. The other thing was, too, is I realized that clutter and overcomplicating things, which we all tend to let creep into our lives, really brings us down and affects us in ways that we don't even realize. It creates overwhelm. It creates stress. And it just is something that we should all take steps to work to reduce in our lives. Emotional and physical clutter go together. And so I got rid of 50% of everything I owned. I downsized from a 3,000-square-foot house down to 1,000 square feet and really simplified my closet, my possessions. And with all that, I simplified my inner life, the life inside of me was so much more peaceful and light. I heard a quote at one point from a blog, and I'm losing the name of it now, but the quote was, it basically said, "Is the life you're dreaming of buried underneath all the stuff you own?" And that was very powerful to me. And to me, that also connected with that whole idea of looking for happiness and joy in the wrong places. And so when I learned to rethink how I look at happiness and how I look at achieving peace and joy in my life, those things that we talked about earlier, gratitude and connecting with spirit and a whole list of other things, there are several keys that kind of go along with it, really became top priorities in my life and in what I write and what I speak about. And that changed everything for me.
As a coach, I'm constantly writing and journaling and discovering. I tease myself often about being kind of like the Cheshire Cat when I'm wise, but the Mad Hatter when I'm creating. And what is your creation process, aside from the experience, because, you know, God loves to give us those cosmic 2x4s to really, especially when you're real stubborn, you know, they get to be bigger and harder. But that's all a part of...
They hit you right on the head.
Oh, Lord, do they smack you good. But that's part of learning and growing and evolving and changing. And sometimes, you know, there are moments, and I can testify hundreds of times throughout my life, where I'm metaphorically lying on the floor going, I'm done. I am truly, absolutely, I'm done. You're going to run me over, run me over. Like, you know, because we all have those moments and that feeling that where you just can't do it anymore. For me, I get poked somehow, and I think it's universal messaging, and I end up getting up, but that's the beginning of my Mad Hatter phase where I start creating programs and thoughts and ways to teach other people to get up. What is your creative process like?
Well, I've got a couple of things to mention on that, just
go
based on
it.
What you had just said. But, you know, earlier you mentioned that sometimes you wake up at 3 and 4 in the morning. I do that quite often, too. For me, that's my most creative time of day. If I'm up at 3 a.m., I'm like, I'm going to take advantage of this time, and I write, or I go on Twitter, and I tweet and respond to people, and I just get into my creative spaces during that time. Or I meditate, and it's my most clear time of the day. So for me, early morning is a great part of my creative process. I'm also constantly decluttering, and to me, that opens the door. I mean, I come up with some of my best ideas for topics or blogs or workshops sometimes when I'm just simply decluttering and working through that. It just provides so much clarity. So I really believe decluttering is a big part of the creative process. And, you know, another thing I wanted to mention, too, is that happiness and also creativity really is a state of activity. And it's not just something that happens, you know, to us. It's something that we do. There's a great quote from the philosopher Aristotle that says happiness is a state of activity. And I really believe in that. It's not just about feeling it and letting it happen within us. That's part of it. But it's also about action and doing it. And creativity is the same way. So I always keep that in mind. Something for me, if I'm feeling a little stuck or a little, like, you know, constipated, for lack of a better
mentally
word.
Constipated, writing, yep.
Mentally constipated, yep. Mentally constipated, exactly. I'll just do something different. I will, go outside on the grass and do some yoga poses I've never tried before. Or I will bust out a pencil and a piece of paper and just start randomly sketching and doodling. Just to open up the flow of that energy of just doing something different and getting out of my same routine and my same stuck space. And it's amazing what that can do. And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, which sort of taps into creativity, but really is more about opening up ourselves energetically to let in new things. But you mentioned about, those moments when we're laying on the floor saying, I'm just done. And I think that we can all relate to that. So many of those moments happen to us on the bathroom floor, it seems, too. Doesn't it? We all have our
own. Yeah, we like to hide. I think women like to hide it. Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? So there's something like that. But, in those moments, I like to think of those as moments of surrender. And
yes.
What I've realized is that when we reach that place where we just feel like we can't take another breath, where we're just done and we just want to surrender, it's because we are refusing to let go of something. For me, that's what I've realized. And so in those moments when we feel like we hit bottom and, those on-the-floor moments, I can't do it anymore, I can't take another breath, maybe make a shift to think about what it is that you're struggling so hard to hold on to. Because what we refuse to let go of cannot be taken from us. We can't release it if we're not letting go. And, that is probably one of the most powerful things, not only for our spiritual and emotional fitness, but for our creativity. If we're holding on to old stuff, it's not making room for us to blossom and create what we have to offer with the world and share our gifts. So, for me, letting go is a constant process. And, I incorporate it into my meditation or yoga practice or even just when I'm chatting with friends. We talk about, hey, what old stuff do we need to let go of? And there's a funny image I shared the other day that said, when the past calls, let it go to voicemail. It has nothing new to say, which I really like. I thought that was kind of cute.
I like that.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, so, letting go, huge part of opening up to more creativity and joy and peace in your life. Absolutely. It is for me. I know that for a fact.
All right. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
Call in. Let's talk about bliss, being blissful, being creative, thriving, living, enjoying, experiencing, touching, smelling, feeling, hugging, crying again, and preferably not on the bathroom floor if you haven't cleaned your bathroom in a while. The number here is 347-205-9443, and we have the fabulous Christy I can't say your last name today for whatever reason, Christy.
You're not the only one.
It was great yesterday and last week when I was, advertising for the show, and today I'm just tongue-tied. She's a fabulous coach, author, and speaker. She motivates, she creates, she helps encourage, inspire, and love ourselves within our lives, and I'm thrilled to have you here on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk a little bit about that experience, because I know, and I heard it in your voice, I know that you've laid on the floor, metaphorically and probably physically, going, lots of expletives that we cannot share on a daytime show, and, the kicking and the screaming, and it's almost like a butterfly really pushing out of the cocoon, or a chicken trying to get out of the egg. It's just emotionally, that's the only way I can graphically describe this metamorphic place that we get to unwittingly, because trust me, there's not one of us here that wouldn't just want to stay in bliss, but we have to have these lessons, right? We have to be taken out of bliss in order to understand and appreciate what bliss is. So talk to me a little bit about your own experience and how you got the courage. First off, how did you heal from the year of being extremely ill? Secondly, how did you appreciate and maintain this new you? Because you definitely grew through that in huge ways.
I grew through that in huge ways, and in fact, it's really when I knew that I needed to make a full-time transition into sharing what I've learned and helping people get through their transitions and you know, create more happiness in their life, because I felt like something that I had been working to, a place that I'd been working to get to for so many years, I finally found the keys to getting there, and you know, my life changed in such profound ways that I became very passionate about helping other people do the same. And it really brings me so much joy. So, you know, for me, there was definitely a particular turning point, a story that sort of happened to me while I was ill, where it was like this light bulb moment, and I knew that it was time to make drastic changes in my life. And in my thought patterns. And that was, there was one night, now the condition I had is called frozen shoulder adhesive capsulitis. It's so much worse than it sounds. I can't even tell you. I since, you know, back then there was no information on it online, and even medical professionals didn't have the right information on it. It's a total mystery as to why it happens, but it is awful. It's debilitating, and it is so painful 24 hours a day, and you literally cannot move one side of your body. It's awful. And so and it happened to me for no particular reason, but for so many reasons until I didn't realize
right.
later. But I literally woke up one morning and couldn't move, and I was in tremendous pain. And, you know, in a nutshell, the doctor was like, oh, no, I'm so sorry this happened to you. And by the way, it's going to last about 2 years. And it was like, oh, my God.
Thanks.
You know, this is crazy. Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, thanks for that.
Next, may I have another?
Right. Yes. And so it was really, I mean, you know, my spirit was broken, and I was broken physically. And my husband at the time had to be my caregiver. And there was a time months later, and I had surgery and been on medication and physical therapy and all this stuff, and I still wasn't getting better. And there was a specific time where this one day I was getting into a tub, and I needed help getting in and out of the tub, and I couldn't, you know, wash my hair, and it was just so frustrating. And I decided while I was in the tub that I was going to try and get out myself without help. And first of all, this was a big lesson that when we need help, ask for it. Ask for help. You don't always have to do everything by yourself, but in that moment, I was so tired of asking for help that I wanted to do it by myself, and in getting out of the tub, I fell to the floor. And I was, you know, naked and wet and just started sobbing. And he came into the room, and I just was like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? And later that night when I was laying down and I was icing myself and just kind of shaking and trying to see if I could fall asleep, it occurred to me that that wasn't the question that I needed to be asking. Why is this happening to me was not the question to be asking. It was, what can I learn from this? What is this here to teach me, and how can it change my life when I heal and come out of it? And I had a shift at that moment and just really decided to use that time, that downtime, to grow myself and to learn and to study and to just thrive from that experience. One of the things I did was I started a support group online for people that had that condition, because there was no valuable information online to be found. And to this day, there are 750 people in that group, and it's thriving.
Wow.
And it's a great thing. But for me, that was huge, and it changed my life. The other thing really I would say was my divorce. It was tremendously painful. I know you can relate. And, you know, one of the things I learned through that, which a lot of other people have spoken about before, is that when you're resisting something, it will persist. And, you know, so that's what I was sort of mentioning about those bathroom floor kind of moments, or laying on the living room floor kind of moments, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. Sitting on the stairs are another big one. If you've got stairs in your house, isn't that just such a great place to cry?
It is.
Yeah. So those stairs moments, you know, those kinds of moments. But For me, like I mentioned before, the biggest thing I learned was in those moments and when you're feeling like that, to take a moment and turn inward and ask yourself what it is you're resisting. What am I resisting right now? What am I refusing to let go of or accept? And, boy, there are so many light bulb moments to be had from that. And it really can empower you to get up off those steps or get up off the floor and take the step forward that you need to take. It's when you allow yourself to stop struggling and let go of whatever it is that is wanting you to let go of it, because it wants you to let go.
So
those were two big ones for me.
I went through a fairly friendly and conscious divorce,
but that was because I had learned so much and done so much, you know, growing and studying when I was sick. And so when I was going through this, as painful as it was, I knew that the energy that I was carrying through it was very important. I knew that the way that my thought patterns were and the way I was waking up in the morning were very important to support me during that time. And it's, you know, that time of my life is one of the reasons that I know all of this works so well and that I believe in it so passionately, because all of those things that are in my ebook about positive mornings and all the things that I talk about were there to support me during one of the darkest times of my life, and they worked. They frickin' worked. They work. All these things work.
They do work.
Yeah, they do work. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about talking about the things that I do.
So I know from personal experience that you really feel new and improved once you get it. Sometimes, especially for my personality, and Amy can testify, I can feel her just grinning right now. I have to hear it over and over and over and over again in order to finally get it. And it's not that I'm not smart or anything like that. It's just sometimes it takes a little bit of that message to be heard in a different way. What was that like for you? Because I think everybody has those moments where we quantify our life in a way that we kind of ignore the other things that are happening.
Well,
you know,
sure. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that was one of the biggest things I learned was that sometimes, you're right, sometimes you just need to hear something in a different way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny, when I first went into coaching full time, I was talking to my coach and I said, you know, it's one thing that is a little tough to let go of is that comparison, you know, factor, comparing yourself to what everybody else is doing in that area and in that space. And, you know, he said to me, you know, all these principles, we're all here to spread many of the same messages and principles to help people in their lives. But what's really special about each individual person is you might be saying something that many other people have said throughout history, but maybe no one's ever said it the way you're going to say it. And maybe the way you're going to say it is going to reach people that wouldn't have otherwise, you know, had that breakthrough, hearing it in the different ways. And that was huge for me. And it also made me look at myself and realize that so many of my own aha moments were looking back on my life, I'm like, oh, of course, I've heard this dozens of times. Why didn't I get it until now? You know, why didn't I get it until I heard it this way? But that's okay. You know, I think it's all part of the learning process and part of growth, and it's part of what makes us all unique. None of us perceive things in the exact same way. And, you know, to me, I think that's an amazing part of just what makes us all unique and special. So, you know, for me, I would say the biggest thing that took me forever to learn, was that my happiness is not connected to the approval of others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you even hear that growing up in school that, you know, you don't need all the other kids to like you in order to be, you know, so special and to shine your light. And you hear it in many different ways throughout your life, but it took me a long time, probably until my early to mid-30s, until I realized that I really had an addiction to the approval of others. And I linked that to my happiness and my approval of myself so much. And when I finally got that and let it go, I did have one of those moments where I'm like, wow, I wish I would have just like really grasped this, you know, 20 years ago. It would have helped me and saved me so much grief in my life. And I'm sure you can think of, you know, lessons that you've learned where you're like, yeah, I've heard that one a dozen times. Why did I just now get that?
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, there's this evolutionary period that we go through, especially when you're in the trenches, as I call it, and you're growing and you're expanding and you're either accepting or you're not accepting. But there's sometimes in life when you're going through a lot of things, you get a lot of messages all at once, and I think that can also be confusing. But if you surround yourself in that growth period with people who are positive and can help you hear those messages, I think that's a huge key at creating a new blissful self. I don't know how you feel about that, but definitely part of letting go is letting go of the things and people that no longer serve you or work for you in a way that allows you to continue your growth path and in a positive light.
Well, you know, I think you're absolutely right there. And the people you surround yourself with have a huge impact on your life. And it's not about their approval. It's about surrounding yourself that carry the energy that you want to invite into your life and that you want to put out. Surrounding yourself with uplifting, positive people who believe in you and believe in your dreams and who don't judge you and accept you as you are. You know, all those things are so important. I actually have a great story that kind of illustrates that. Probably just a couple, 2-3 months ago, and I wrote a blog post about this. I was sitting in the waiting area for the spa at my gym, which I just absolutely love, a gym that's got a spa, don't we all? And I was waiting to get a massage, and I'm sitting in there, and these two much older ladies walked in, and they were so sweet. It was very clear they were mother and daughter, but what made them so special was the daughter had to be probably in her mid to late 70s, and her mom, I mean, I thought she might have, you know, been 100 maybe, but, she, you know, it turned out she was in her late 90s. They came in and sat down, and they were hand in hand. And, of course, in those spa waiting areas, everybody's real quiet and no one, you know, people rarely talk. And that's why they call it the quiet room. And so the lady to my left noticed these two ladies also and just how beautiful their energy was. And she asked these two ladies and said, are you mother and daughter? And they said, yes, we are. And she said, wow, that's so great. And she said, may I ask how old your mom is? And the mom answered and said, oh, I'm turning 96. And the lady next to me said, that is amazing. What's your secret? And I'm listening to this conversation kind of like a fly on the wall. And she said,
right.
What's your secret? And, you know, without any hesitation, she said, my whole life I've surrounded myself with happy, positive people and kind people.
Amen.
Amen. Right?
Did you hear that, my Living and Thriving Tribe? Surround yourself with happy and positive people.
Yeah.
Get a happy job.
And people that are kind and loving toward you, you know, and
yes.
Let go of those that don't fit into those categories. But, you know, this 96-year-old beautiful lady who was thriving, I mean, she's at the spa to get a massage. How awesome is that? That's where I want to be when I'm 96. But she was like, it wasn't healthy eating. It wasn't exercise. It wasn't, you know, all these other things. Of course, those all come into play. But the one thing without hesitation that came to her mind was I surround myself with kind, positive, happy people.
Well, really, and there was this beautiful, beautiful documentary of the people of Okinawa. Now, they live way longer than anybody else in the world. They drink, they smoke. but not all of them, obviously, but quite a few. And they're 110, 105, 100 years old, still functioning, still gardening, still working. And one of the first things that you take away from the documentary is their sense of community involvement and togetherness and happy. Like throughout the whole documentary, they're giggling and boisterous and
yes.
Really filled with joy. And I absolutely agree that is the golden nugget of me at Honest Mucker's Jar when I'm 100. I'm going to be
there. There have been scientific studies done that prove this. And it really is. I also blog for the Huffington Post, and you can find my blog at huffingtonpost.com Christy-Bliharski. And if you need my name spelling, which is very long and complicated, you can go to creatingyourbliss.com, get my name spelling there. But I wrote a blog about this exact thing for the Huffington Post, and it was about longevity. And, you know, and I wrote this story in there about this lady in the spa and how she talked about, you know, kind, loving, positive people are her secret to her longevity. And there are scientific studies that show that we literally have chemical changes in our brain when we are surrounded by people who are kind and positive. And even just one exchange of kindness with a stranger during the day can change your body chemistry. And, I mean, it's even linked to heart health. It's linked to the health of our, you know, circulation. It's linked to reducing stress and anxiety. And, you know, this all also links back to what we were talking about earlier about the energy we put out comes back to us. So the scientific studies show that we get the same physical health benefits and emotional health benefits when we extend kindness to others as we do when we receive kindness and love. And that's really huge.
Repeat that last sentence one more time.
We get the same health benefits, very similar health benefits, both emotionally and physically, when we extend acts of loving kindness to others as we get when we receive acts of loving kindness from others.
Oh, I love that. Yay.
Isn't that amazing? So it really is scientifically proven that what we put out into the world comes back to us, and that is so powerful. And, you know, we know it. I think we've all experienced those times when we do something really kind, just randomly, random acts of kindness, and we feel so good about it afterward, that sort of little charge that we get, that is physically good for us. Our brain chemistry changes, and it supports our internal organs and, you know, our happiness and our reducing stress and anxiety, all of that across the board. Isn't that awesome? I love it.
It is awesome. And Amy and I constantly encourage people to do random acts. That's like my favorite thing in the whole wide world to do. I actually was recently chased. So little history. Every morning I get up, I go to the gym, I go to Starbucks, get my caffeine fix, and I come home. Most of the time at Starbucks, I will buy somebody else's coffee, and if I have enough in my pocket, I will buy their lunch too or whatever. And mine is always just keep smiling. I don't want you to pay it forward. I don't want you, you know, to thank me. I want you to keep smiling. And if this little act, $2.13 act, is going to make you smile and snap you out of whatever you're in and give you just a moment of a different perspective, then I'm happier than I don't know, a tomato on toast.
It is a good feeling. Giving and being of service is just one of the most
absolutely
amazing feelings. Absolutely.
So I'm jamming my my techno music, and I'm all pumped after the gym, and I'm cruising home, and I'm literally being chased by this person who I bought coffee for, like flagging me down, going, "Thank you," you know, and I'm, "You're welcome, stalker, coffee stalker."
That's awesome.
But what that did, and it was very loud because my whole Starbucks team, Tina and Zach, love them, and Dan and Chris. I tell them jokes every morning. So it's like a double whammy. This whole little process is my way of being a Cheshire Cat. And I absolutely want more and more and more people to do this. So wherever you frequent regularly, come up with a joke. Even if you're having the worst day in your life, you've stubbed your toe, your dog was run over, you're getting a divorce, whatever horrible thing is happening to you right now, wherever you regular, find a joke. Why?
You know, I think that's a really good suggestion. And, you know, they say, too, one of the best things you can do when you're feeling down or going through a hard time is to go out and make somebody else's day. Go out and do something kind or make someone laugh. That will lift you right up. And
but turn it into a habit.
Yes, yes. And if you can create these habits that we've been talking about in this whole conversation, all these little things, make these shifts and practice them enough so that they become habits, your entire life will change.
It really, 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 really does. Go ahead, Amy.
If you look on the other side, when I work with people with emotional release and you work with an emotion, say anger or depression, The other side or the way out is laughter. So it's funny that you say that about, you know, creating a joke or finding something funny amongst whatever's going on in your life, because that is actually the way out of anger or depression is laughter.
It's really true. And there's studies behind that as well. Like, I talk a lot about smiling, that if you smile, and I believe it's for 17 seconds is what they've found, it releases chemicals in your brain that lift your spirits and put you into a better place. And even if the smile isn't real, even a forced smile still works, but you have to hold it for like 17 to 30 seconds. And so just creating, even if it's artificial, that laughter and that act of smiling triggers chemicals in your brain that shift your energy and put you into a better place. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It is amazing. So, and I want to be clear to everybody out there, my lovely Living and Thriving posses, I am not in any way, shape, or form saying that you're not allowed to experience that current emotion. I'm saying if you start developing other positive habits, like for me, coming up with a joke for my Starbucks team or paying for somebody's drink, just little tiny habits. I do it every single day. It's become fun, and they never know what to expect, so it's even funnier. but you need to experience your anger. You need to experience your depressive state. You need to experience your frustration. You need to have those experiences. That's why we were given this range of emotions so that we can experience it and understand it. But the point that I'm trying to make is when you develop a different habit, a positive habit, experiencing anger, upset, frustration, sadness, all of those things will be less, less than time, because you can automatically go, okay, I forgot my joke. Let me pull over to the side of the road and find a new one. And you can change that.
Excellent point. It's true, because experiencing those things is necessary, those feelings and emotions, and letting them pass through us and help allowing ourselves to feel and then learning and growing from that. Getting stuck in those places is a whole other story. And, you know, we all of us in our life can relate to getting stuck in a place, and we just don't know how to get out. And these habits that we're talking about can help us kind of snap out of it when we're feeling stuck there, don't you think?
Absolutely. I know that for my own personal truth, developing these habits have really minimized the amount of times that I've become frustrated for a long period of time or sad for a long period of time. I snap out of it a lot quicker.
Yes, and you're right. You know, we need to feel these things. I had kind of a funny moment, believe it or not, when I was feeling sad. I literally cracked myself up about the fact that I was feeling sad. And this was several months ago, but I was feeling sad about a fallout that had happened with a friend, a misunderstanding, and I was just feeling really bummed out about it this one afternoon. And all of a sudden, this light bulb went off when I was in this place of sadness and allowing myself to feel it, and I realized that it was the first time that I had felt sad about anything other than my divorce in as long as I could remember. And then
wow.
All of a sudden, I was like, wow, that's a breakthrough moment. Like, I'm getting out of this and moving forward, and I'm thrilled to be sad about this right now.
Those are really, really powerful moments, because again, you in order to appreciate the bliss and all of the hard work, because in order to be blissful, I tell you, and you guys can disagree with me all you want, but in order to be truly blissful, truly happy, and truly spend the majority of your time in a state of what I like to call angel enigma, you have to have your scars, you have to have your bumps and bruises, you have to have your stories, you have to have that pain. And that's how you can understand what we call in the coaching and spiritual world contrasts. That's what we're here for, is to understand those contrasts.
We have tools with different people too. That's why there's so many different spiritual practices, different modalities, and you have to follow your own instinct, what works for you. You know, what I do, I can suggest to people what in my experience has worked for me or what in my experience has worked for other clients, but they still have to navigate their own path.
Absolutely. I am scrambling here, ladies, before Living and Thriving all of a sudden dumps us off because we have 3 minutes and I haven't asked my wonderful question. Okay, clock change. Cross your fingers. It did. It changed. Yay. All right, cool. So technically we only have a few minutes left of the show, but I'm going to extend it for a few minutes because one of the things that I really, really, really love about the show, well, there's so many things that would take an hour to talk about, but having guests on is to ask what the one message that you want the viewers, 100 and some thousand people all over the world, we've got them in Africa and Argentina and Ireland, everywhere, Iceland. What do you want, Christy, for them to take away from today's show? If this is the most inspirational moment that you have to reach out to these people, what's your message? And you have up to 34 minutes to tell us.
Well, I would have to say, okay, so if you're going to take away one thing from this conversation today, I would say look at the way you're living your mornings and see if there are changes that you can make there that would better empower your day and your life. The way we're living our mornings from the time we have those first conscious thoughts when we're waking in the morning to the time we really get rolling into our day, whether it's going out the door or getting the kids to school or whatever it may be, that time in the morning sets the path and paves the way for our entire day and therefore our entire life. So the energy we create, how we take care of ourselves, connecting with spirit, our thoughts, getting into a place of gratitude, setting intention, all of these things that we can do in the morning and reduce as much stress and rushing and clutter as possible and invite in all of these more positive things, it will make a huge difference in your day and your life and in the lives of those around you, your family and your friends. They're all going to realize the change in energy that's taken place in your life. So if you take away one thing from this conversation today, it's take a look at your mornings and see if they need a makeover, a positive makeover.
Awesome. Now, shamelessly plug yourself again.
Well, my website is creatingyourbliss.com. And by the way, on that note, on October 29th, I have a live teleclass that I'm doing called Empower Your Day Live. And we're going to go really in-depth about how to give your mornings a makeover. So if you go to my website, creatingyourbliss.com, you'll find the banner for Empower Your Day Live there, and you can check out all the details. It's going to be a great class, tons of tools and tips, really going into depth about how to change your mornings and therefore change your life. So check it out. And after October 29th, the audio will be available as well. So anybody listening to this down the line, you can still go to the store on the site and find the information.
Now, I believe we're connected to each other on Facebook. Do you mind putting me, I'm assuming you do the event thing
for all of your... I generally don't, but I post
you
on
don't?
My
okay.
page. I post okay, well, on my if, page link.
Okay, so I'll try to find it, and then I will repost to all of my folks out there, and I'm sure Amy will repost all of her folks out there, and we'll just keep reposting because, you know, changing
Thank
our
you.
Morning is the
yeah,
way to do it.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Christy Bliharski. You'll find me there. And I think we are connected, and you'll find the information on the teleclass. And please share it because I'm passionate about getting this information out. So thanks.
You're welcome. And I have to say big hugs to you. I love, love, love what you do. I am so glad we connected. Your timing universally could not have been more perfect for a lot of people that are listening in today. So grateful that you spent some time here in Living and Thriving and walking together on our path.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joyful conversation. I really appreciate it.
You're okay. Welcome, my dear. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks.
You as well.
Yay! Don't you love what we do, Miss Amy? I love, love, love what I do. I am so passionate about all of the people that we meet, all of the hugs we get to have, virtual, all of just the pure inspiration that each and every one of our guests brings on a different level in a different way. Ah, charged, excited.
What's encouraging to me is that there's actually a lot more people. By doing this show, I've learned that there's a lot more people out there that are truly getting it than I would have probably been able to know about. And it really makes me feel great because we really do need to reach out to our individual communities and help each other out and help each other down this path. And, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the, you know, the big bad world. We can help each other out through this. And it's really encouraging to hear about people like her and starting out your day the right way. I love that.
Yeah, and, you know, we just continue to attract, again, back to the attraction component, amazing, amazing people. And the lineup for the rest of the year is incredible, just some amazing spirits out there. And I am looking forward to having two shows next year a week. And I am thinking Sunday evening at some point, kind of divvy up the demographics here. Any suggestions, feel free to give me a call or email me. Go onto my website, rustymacdonald.com. I did find a website designer, so I'm really looking forward to working with him. And he also is an inspirational person. I hope to have him on my radio show as well. Shane was referred to me by one of my buddies on Facebook. Thank you, Trish, for that. I appreciate it, and I'm sure you're listening. Anyway, we are a little over time-wise, but I want to find who we have next week. There's just so many wonderful people. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Also looking for sponsorship, so if anybody is listening that is interested in sponsoring one of my vlogs or the radio show, please email myself or Karen. You can find that information at rustymacdonald.com. You just contact us through there, and we can talk about sponsorship opportunities. Next year is incredible. I have, I think, 4 or 5 speaking engagements that are coming up fairly quickly in the year. Those also would be a great opportunity for marketing purposes. And who do we have next? You wouldn't know, would you?
I don't, because I'm not on my computer.
Yay! It's Ty of I God Mind. It's take two with him.
Yeah.
So that'll be really exciting. And again, creating your bliss. Here's another alternative to creation in the morning. I love my subliminals. I usually do them after the gym, but because of time, I'm going to start utilizing that 4 o'clock in the morning time to do my subliminals. And that's a great plug for Ty for next week. So looking forward to Ty of I, God, Mind. And did I tell you the story behind that?
I think so. And I think we talked about it actually on the
very
show.
Cute.
The background. So I'm excited to hear about that. So yeah, that sounds great. We have a great lineup. And remember the sponsors too. What are we up to? Over 100,000 listeners?
Over 100,000, yeah. And that's actually caused me to do much more marketing than I've ever had to do for the show in regards to trying to recruit sponsors. I am very, very grateful to all of those individuals out there who repost my show blog, because that's what enables other people to find out about this show and, again, inspire them, motivate them, create, charge them, excite them. And like Amy just said, you know, acknowledging that there are many, many people out there that have gone through whatever they've gone through, and this is the way they've done it and have become successful from it. So definitely repost, repost, repost. Love that. Do you have anything you want to say before we wrap up?
No, but I didn't know if you knew that my son got engaged over the weekend. So
I just saw it on Facebook.
So we have a lot, you know, I'm very, very busy, but it's a very good busy, you know, new grandbabies. And now, you know, I love, I used to be a wedding planner for 15 years, so I put that hat.
Poor Erica. Run, Erica, run. The mother-in-law is the wedding planner.
I'm like, I'm only doing the flowers.
And then we're going to hold you to that. You've publicly made that statement. So your intention is you're only doing the flowers.
I did it on purpose.
All right. Well, hopefully you and I will connect someday face-to-face. That would be nice.
Make an appointment.
No, I do not make appointments with friends, Sam. There's something wrong about that.
I know, but it is.
So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
And I want you all to know that I think you're beautiful. I see every single one of you as a bright, shining light that has so much good work to do here on this planet. And I'm so glad that we get to walk this path every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and learn and explore and delve and talk and create. That's what living and thriving is all about. So just know I love you, and I really look forward to talking to you, with you, about you, around you, next Wednesday. Take care.